as we return to Philippians 4 now, let's pray and ask God to speak directly to us this morning. Our Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. You have not left us in the dark, for your word tells us that your word itself is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and we pray this morning that we would know your light shining upon us, that it would illumine our heads and our hearts to see you for who you are, to live lives that are pleasing to you. Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts as we listen this morning would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. I wonder how you are getting on now with the fact that we've gone 4 months since the start of a once-in-a-lifetime event of lockdown. Things are beginning to ease a little bit here in Wales, in the UK at least. You can now go on holiday, you can form an extended household, but you still can't do everything that you used to do. And I wonder how that has made you feel as the weeks have gone by. What words come to mind to describe your lockdown experience as I even asked that question this morning? Maybe you would say tiring. With work just harder than it ever has been before, you've got so much more to do now. Or worrying for those who are near and dear to you. Or concerning about your health or your job security. Or just long as the days drag by. Maybe you'd say it's hard as you consider how long things might be until we're back to as we once knew them. Maybe you've found it enjoyable as you've had more time with family or with your children or with your spouse. You've had that time which isn't usually so frequent in the busyness of life. No doubt there's not one answer. It will be a mix of emotions, and that's completely natural. But I wonder if you would describe yourself this morning as content. Maybe in the first few weeks of lockdown you would say you were content, but now not so much as you look forward to being able to just do more again. Well, this morning I want to ask the question, how do I keep content? And for us to be able to answer that, we have to know where we find our contentment. And here in our passage this morning, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13, we get the answer for where it is and where it isn't found. So I just have 2 points this morning. And firstly, I want us to see that contentment is not found in circumstances. Contentment is not always found in circumstances, which is made clear from verses 10 to 12 of Philippians 4. Our passage this morning begins with a theme that is very present. It fills Paul's letter to the Philippians. We saw it at the start of our reading in the opening verses of chapter 4, and that is joy. And here now, Paul does what he has been encouraging the Philippians to do throughout this letter. He rejoices. Look that he says in verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Paul rejoices in the Lord, and that is all because the Philippians have renewed their concern for him. They've sent a fellow Philippian called Epaphroditus, which we saw in chapter 4, verse 18. You can read more about him in chapter 2. They've sent him there to renew their concern for him. And maybe you've had a similar experience where you've been thrilled by an unexpected visitor at the door, or maybe more likely at the moment you've had a phone call or a Zoom call from an old friend. And concern and friendship has been revived and renewed like those perennial flowers and shrubs that come back and blossom again as we've enjoyed watching through the springtime and early summer. After bulbs have laid dormant in the ground, shoots of spring appear, and here Paul rejoices that their friendship, which for a while was dormant, has now been renewed. But Paul wants to be sure that the Philippians don't misunderstand him. He knows that this isn't a case of them not caring. He knows that they were concerned, but it's simply that they hadn't had the opportunity to show their concern for him. until this very moment. And I'm sure that back then, with all the traveling that Paul was doing, it probably wasn't always easy to make contact with him. But now they have, through Epaphroditus, and their friendship is renewed, and so Paul is full of joyful thanks. But what's striking is that Paul doesn't rejoice in what he gets from them. He's certainly glad of the gift that leads to contentment, but that doesn't lead to contentment as far as Paul is concerned. The joy that he gets is not to do with the gift. It's not found there. Paul is basically saying that he would have been content with or without the gift. And this is important, as he isn't now content because his needs have been met or because he has this timely reconnection that serves him well. No, contentment is not found in his circumstances. Contentment is not based on this pleasant experience. But notice he says in verse 10, he rejoiced greatly in the Lord. He didn't rejoice in the gift, but in the Lord. This is nothing new from Paul. He's already said this countless times in his letter, many times. As in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." And we read earlier in verse 4 of chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. And so we're already beginning to see that joy in the Lord, and not circumstances, is key for Paul. If we're going to be content, then that is vital. That is what Paul goes on to say in verse 11 as he begins to elaborate on why their kindness and concern and ministering to his need was not the reason for his joy. He says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Paul says that no matter the circumstances, he is content. He is joyful over their friendship, not because of what he gets out of it, not because his needs are met, but he is joyful and content in all circumstances because his joy isn't dependent on the situation he finds himself in. And don't forget, the context of this whole letter to the Philippians is found back in chapter 1, where you can read that Paul is in a rather unenviable situation. He is in chains. He is in prison. He has no physical freedom, and yet he rejoices. And he is content, whatever the circumstances. Again, we see in verse 12 the variety of circumstances Paul has known, and it's got no bearing on how content he is. He makes three contrasts in verse 12, so that whether he is brought low or abounding, whether he is facing plenty or hunger, whether he is living in abundance or in need, in the middle of verse 12, he says that in any and every circumstances, he's learned the secret. The secret of what? Of being content. And what a challenging statement that is. That contentment is not found in or reliant on our circumstances. Because Paul says he was content in every and any circumstance. And this, you see, is where the problem exists for us when we see contentment as purely based upon, as only reliant on our circumstances. If later on you were to Google contentment, the first example that you might come across, as I did, was that contentment is described as a state of happiness or satisfaction. And the example that was given was, he found contentment, this particular man, he found contentment living a simple life in the country. Now that sounds lovely, doesn't it? But immediately, we see that according to such a dictionary definition, contentment, life satisfaction, comes from circumstance. What you need is a simple life in the country. That's where you find contentment. So that means that a busy life in the city, a hectic family life, stress at work, worries about the future, well, that means that no contentment can be found, according to such a view. And maybe that's how you see contentment this morning. Maybe your life is like that. You're desperately looking forward to that holiday that you've recently booked for a couple of weeks' time in the summer. And when you're eventually on a beach somewhere in the world, or simply the fact that you're away from work, you think that you'll be content. Or maybe you feel that you'll be content when you're just able to go and see those loved ones again that you haven't been able to see yet. You want to go and enjoy their company. Or you're looking forward to that time when it's not one household at a time anymore. When you can have everyone together, then you'll be content. Or maybe you'll be content when you find that relationship, that dream job, or even just when everything goes back to the way that we once knew it before this pandemic swept the world. Contentment isn't something you have now. You maybe recognize that, but you put all your hopes in a future time and a future place where then you will be happy. But friends, if we cast our minds back to before the lockdown, to last year maybe, can we really say that we were content in all circumstances? Were you happy and satisfied all of the time? Well, if you view contentment as something that is defined by your circumstances, then I'm pretty sure we would have to be honest and say, no, I wasn't content in all circumstances. If satisfaction and happiness are based on pleasant experience, then we couldn't possibly always be content because our circumstances simply aren't always pleasant, are they? Even if you feel pretty content with your life right now, we have to be honest and ask, would we feel as we do when life is turned upside down? If your contentment is based on things going smoothly, well, then once things go badly, you can't avoid the fact that you will struggle to keep satisfied. And if pleasant circumstances never, ever returned, well, then that would mean you'd never be content again, wouldn't it? Even in these last few months, as we have seen on television and in our newspapers, the vast impact of this pandemic, as maybe you felt the impact personally, you grieve that which has been lost. Maybe it's the physical loss of death of those close to us, as well, of course, the many in our nation who have died. It might be the fact that you've simply not seen your family in person for months. Those things that you used to do, they've stopped. And you have known a sense of loss in some way, and you are struggling, and you are finding things so hard. You're fed up, and you're weary. If that is you, then that is perfectly natural to feel like that. All of us have known varying degrees of that in our lives in the last few months, at different times in different ways. But at the very least now, I hope that we can begin to see that if we define contentment as based on our situation, then contentment cannot always be found in our circumstances. If it was, then surely we would have found contentment through this time. Through this period of lockdown, we would have been content. But it has been hard. Maybe we've been surprised ourselves that we thought we were quite content. And it's quite easy to be content when things are well and there are no issues, when the children are in school and the bills are being paid, when you're seeing family and friends, and when the winds are quiet and the sea is calm, then life is good and we feel content. But now you do not feel content in your circumstances. Nobody wants this situation to last any longer than it has to. You might feel anxious about your job security, worried about your health, concerned for your loved ones, and you long for the day when you can just give someone a hug, your parents, your grandparents, or your children, your grandchildren who are living away. And we know this deep down, don't we? Contentment cannot be found in our circumstances, because if it was, then surely we would have it. We would have that long-lasting contentment by now. Yet Paul, in his very own lockdown, as he sits in chains there writing to the Philippians, whether he has much or whether he has little, he is content. He is always content, no matter the situation. How can this be? Can we say this of ourselves this morning? Can we say that in our own lockdown, 2,000 years after Paul's, that we are content in every and any situation? Maybe you're watching this morning and you know that you're not content, you're not satisfied, you're restless, you're not happy, you're not joyful or glad, but you've heard that contentment can still be known regardless of your circumstances. So where then can this contentment be found? Thankfully, Paul is not being stoic here. That is, he is not neutrally disengaged with all going on around him, and he's unaffected by his circumstances. It's just that his circumstances, they don't affect his contentment. And if that is the case, then what does? Paul, please tell us this morning, where do I find contentment? How do I keep content? Well, the good news this morning that comes to you as you sit on your sofa in your home is that contentment is always found in Jesus Christ. Contentment is always found in Jesus Christ. And that is what we read in verse 13. Contentment is always found in Jesus Christ. And that's the second point this morning I want to make. And we find it in verse 13. Look at it there where it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Here in these words, we find how Paul has learned to live joyfully, both in want and in plenty. And this phrase can be best understood as saying, I can do everything in vital union with the one who strengthens me. That one is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom Paul is united to by faith. And he frequently speaks of Jesus Christ in this letter. Christ is mentioned again and again and again. And now here, Paul points to the fact that what he has said, far from pointing to his own self-sufficiency, what he has said actually points to his Christ sufficiency. It is Jesus Christ who is the basis and the source of everything for Paul, and indeed is for us this morning if we are a Christian tuning in. What Paul says here in verse 13 is, it's building upon what he's said earlier in the letter in chapter 1, verse 21, that for Paul to live is Christ. And this is so important because it helps us understand the true meaning of this verse. Paul says he can do all things through him who strengthens me, which in the context of verses 11 and 12 refers to his living in want or plenty. Paul finds Jesus Christ sufficient in times of plenty or in times of need. And it is the Christ-centeredness of this verse that is vital. It is, of course, one of many verses in Philippians that are full of Christ. And again, it shows us that Paul is a man in Christ. His whole life was absolutely Christ-centered. And so when Paul says all things, he is talking about his whole life. But it is everything within this framework, this view that all things means his sole focus is on Christ, whom he longs to know more and longs to become more like. And so if we take this sentence out of its Christ-centered, Christ-focused context, then we make it lose its power and we relegate it to serve our own selfish desires. And sometimes that happens with this verse. We put it on a magnet on our fridge, or an athlete puts it on their boots and they turn it into a triumphalistic promise of Christ's help for absolutely anything and everything. And while it is, of course, true that the Lord helps us in the responsibilities of our lives each day, this verse did not make Paul into some kind of spiritual superman who could do things that no other human being could. Paul didn't run the 100 meters in less than 9 seconds. Paul could not fly. No, in its context, what Paul means is that he is content in everything because of the knowledge of Christ with him. Because Paul is united to Christ by faith, because he has union with Christ, he finds the strength needed in order for him to continue to serve the Lord in making the gospel known, whether he is in want or in plenty. And the reason that I want to stress what Paul isn't saying is to make clear what he is saying. His contentment is always found in Jesus Christ, for he is a man of Christ, united to him by faith. If he has plenty, then he is a man in Christ, and that alone. If he is in want, then he is still a man in Christ. And because of that, he is content to accept his circumstances as part of his discipleship. He's given the strength to always, always be content, no matter the situation. And that strength comes from Jesus Christ. There was a 17th century Puritan writer. His name was Jeremiah Burroughs, and he says in his book titled The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, he says that Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. Contentment, as far as the Christian is concerned, is not connected to circumstance. No, contentment is an attitude, a posture of our hearts that recognizes and delights in the fact that God our Father does all things well, and that he is working out what is best for us in every circumstance, even when we can't see it. And remember that God is only our Father if our faith is in his Son, if our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to be in Christ, to have faith in Jesus Christ, to be trusting in him alone for your rescue from your sin, to be in him who enables and gives strength, means to be content whatever the circumstances. Because God, our Father, in his wisdom, has seen it good that we be in this circumstance, that we be where we are this morning. Paul found in Christ the source of God's power that enabled him to be content in these remarkably varied circumstances that he had of want and plenty. And so there was in Paul a real unlimited confidence in the ability of Christ to match every situation. Nothing is too great, nothing is too small with Christ's power and strength. He is made perfect in weakness. And this means that this wonderful confident assertion, it's not just for Paul. I can do all things through him who strengthens me can be true of every Christian today. If you're a Christian, you can trust the one who strengthens you to do what he has given you to do, full of contentment. Wherever you are watching this morning, you too can find the strength to always be content, whatever the circumstances, as you live your life for him. But how is this possible? How is this possible? Well, when Paul speaks of being content, when he speaks of rejoicing in the Lord always, he isn't speaking about the perfectly natural human pleasure based on pleasant experience. No, his contentment is completely independent of circumstances. He is speaking of contentment that is based on Christ. It's gladness that is grounded in Christ. It is joy that is resting on Christ. And that is why contentment, whatever the circumstances, cannot be achieved on your own. He says that I can do all things, I can have plenty or be in need, full or hungry, through him who gives me strength. I can be any of these things through him who strengthens me. You can't have this contentment on your own. It is a miracle of divine strength that I can only be truly content in plenty and in need because of him who strengthens me. I wonder if you know this today. Is this your experience? Do you see Christ as so great, so valuable, so worthy that he becomes and is to you the all-satisfying source of unshakable contentment, which is above the plenty and the abundance that you can even find in this world? Such contentment should be the Christian's experience. We keep content when Christ is front and central in our life. We keep content when Jesus, our great servant King, our wonderful Savior, our almighty rescuer, the one who gave his life for you, is first in your life. This isn't the first time that Paul has said such a thing in Philippians, back in chapter 3 in verses 7 and 8. Paul says, but whatever gain I had, I counted loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. You can have all the physical and religious abundance in the world. You can have the dream home, the dream job, dream family, the dream second home somewhere exotic. You can have financial stability with a career to look back on where you achieved all that you could. And while those things aren't necessarily bad in themselves, Paul would say to all of that, I count them rubbish. Everything is a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things won't keep you content, but Jesus will. Jesus will. This is the secret that Paul has learned in verse 12 of being content in any and every situation. He has learned that joy, contentment, is always in Jesus Christ. It's not in health or in riches or in fame or the best that this world has to offer, but it is in Christ. And I think that is why so many of us often don't feel content. We don't experience contentment because we do not have this same view as Paul did. That of Christ, who is supreme and sufficient. That there's nothing better than Jesus. And so as our outlook has been challenged in recent months, as our health has never been more in the news, as our concerns about financial security has gone up with reports of increasing unemployment in our news, an uncertain economic future ahead, is it any surprise if we don't feel content, if we are looking to those things to provide us with contentment? This can be true of us if we're Christians this morning. Maybe we have taken our eyes off Jesus. Maybe we have got so caught up in our circumstances that we've forgotten who he is and what he has done for us. That he is, as one Welsh hymn writer puts it, that he is Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient. Beyond telling is thy worth. In thy name lie greater treasure than the richest found on earth. Such abundance is my portion with my God. Maybe we've been so concerned about our situation that we've forgotten. We've forgotten that he made this whole universe in which we live, that he made us in all of our marvelous detail, that he loved us so much that he came to this world as God in full humanity and lived a life of perfect obedience, and that the depths of his love took him to the cross, where he endured what no one else ever has or ever will endure, as he died for the sins of countless men and women and boys and girls through all of history, people like you, people like me, that he was buried in a tomb, and that 3 days after death, he left death in the dust, conquering it and rising again as proof of new life after death. Maybe we've forgotten that he did that for us. Maybe we've forgotten what it cost. Maybe we're coasting, and that's why we're not content. But if we daily realign ourselves, if our faith is in the Lord Jesus, if we daily come to Jesus, then true and real and enduring contentment is found. It takes the strength and the perspective that only God can give to live above the changing and difficult circumstances of life, and especially so of recent months. If we are utterly content in Jesus Christ, then we will always keep content because it will ensure that we live above our circumstances and never give up in the Christian walk as we press on towards the goal. Friends, for us to keep content, then we must have our confidence in Christ alone. For in his grace, he saves us and he sustains us. A little earlier, I mentioned Jeremiah Burroughs, the Puritan writer in the 17th century. And he, out of Philippians 4:11, out of that one verse, he wrote a whole book on this subject of contentment. It's called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, if you want to look it up. And I've dipped into it, and it is full of gems on this deep subject. But I want to leave us with this one precious sentence. There is strength in Christ, not only to sanctify and save us, but strength to support us under all our burdens and afflictions. There is strength in Christ, not only to sanctify and save us, but strength to support us under all our burdens and afflictions. You see what the key is there? There is strength in Christ. Yes, to save us and to shape us, to become more like him, but also to support and to strengthen us in all our burdens and afflictions. Maybe as you listen this morning, you wonder how can you ever be content? Maybe you feel that life has dealt you a poor hand. Friend, here this morning, there is hope for you that in Christ, if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone and you turn to him today, then you will know his strength that will save you from your sin. You will know his strength that will change your life forever and will strengthen you under all your burdens and your struggles. Brother, sister, maybe you're watching this morning and your faith is in Christ and yet you are under immense burdens. You have experienced much afflictions and maybe even as you watch this morning, you are all too aware of the struggles that you have in your life. Maybe struggles that nobody else knows about. Your circumstances are not pleasant for whatever the reason might be and you do not feel content. Come again to Jesus this morning. For there is strength in Christ. Strength that you know has already saved you. And strength that is making you more like your Savior. But also strength to support you. He will strengthen you. He will strengthen you in your struggle today and tomorrow. And the day after that as well. For he will never leave you nor forsake you. Only in Christ alone can true contentment always be found as we enjoy him in all his glory, regardless of our situation, independent of our circumstances, regardless of how happy or sad your situation is. Friend, you can always keep content when you trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you that you know our circumstances as we watch in our homes this morning. You know how we feel. You know whether we're happy or sad. You know our situation. And you know what we have needed to hear this morning. And we pray that your word to us would stay with us this week. Shape us, Lord. We thank you that we can know true contentment in Christ. As we look to him and trust in him, we can be content, whatever our situation. And we pray that your Spirit would plant your word down deep in us, that we might live a life that is content, not because of us, but because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives us strength. Help us, Lord, in this we pray, as we go into this new week, to trust and to be content in Christ. And we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.